We're going to get back into Ephesians chapter, or back into the book of Ephesians tonight. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 6. And looking tonight, not totally, just kind of getting into it and not going to finish up tonight, but getting into what is the third and last in a series of basic societal relationships that God deals with in Ephesians, towards the end of Ephesians 5 and then into chapter 6, where he deals with the husband and wife relationship, he deals with the parent and children relationship, and then what we'll be getting into tonight will be the employer and employee relationship. And these are the most basic relationships in society, and there are relationships that all of us here have, or at some point likely will have in our life at some point. If we don't now, we likely will at some point. So that's what we'll be kind of getting into tonight. Again, we'll just be kind of getting starting to get into it, and we'll probably finish up next time. But let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6. Look in verse number 5. We'll start reading there. Now, he's just dealt with the first four verses with children obeying their parents in the Lord. And then in verse 5, he gets into servants and masters. And so, looking at verse 5, he says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." And so what we see here, he uses terms servants and masters because that's how it was set up in that day. You see in the Bible where the servants and slaves and masters are dealt with through the Scriptures. But a servant doesn't necessarily always mean a slave in the Scripture. That's just what a lot of times what an employee was referred to was a servant, a hired servant. And so the application in 2021 for all of us would be that of the employer and employee relationship. And there again, this is one of the basic societal relationships, and it's one of these three. And so God, in this relationship here with the employer and the employee, he deals with our manners, he deals with our motives, and he deals with the ministry of his people in the workplace. Because God's people ought to have a certain conduct within the workplace. We have a certain conduct that is nothing like the world in our marriage relationship. And we have conduct that is nothing like the world in the parent and children relationship. And the same is true in the employer and employee relationship, the workplace relationship. God's people ought to be different from the rest of the world. Ought to be a noticeable difference. And so, and he deals with those. He deals with our manners, how we ought to act and conduct ourselves. Not just the manners, though. He deals with the motive of it all. And then he deals with the ministry of it. And it is a ministry. And so, that's what we'll be looking at tonight in these few verses on how to be the employee that God wants you to be. How to be the employee that God wants you to be. Because he deals with it right here. It's always amazing how specific and applicable the Bible is. It is always so applicable. And Kaylee and Kelby, they've got jobs and they're working. They need to know. Or I think, aren't you? Maybe not. Maybe you don't have a job. Oh, you got to get more kids, right? I see. Well, when you get a job, you need to know what kind of employee God wants you to be. And so it's true for all of us. Proverbs says, in all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit. And so everything we do, if God gives us something to do, gives us a job to do, there is profit in it if we do it right and do it God's way. And so we need to know what kind of employee God wants us to be. And so the first thing that he deals with here in regards to being the right kind of employee in the workplace It involves, first of all, it involves compliance. Okay? It's a lot like the children with the parents. Children are to comply to their parents, just like the wife is to the husband. She is to comply to the husband, reverence and respect and obey her husband. The same is true with the employee, with the employer, the employee with the boss. There is a compliance involved in that if we're going to do it God's way. In verse 5, look at what he says. He says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." Okay? Now again, the word servants means slaves. But the application here is to all employees, to all of us that are saved. This is how God wants us to conduct ourselves on the workplace, in the workplace. And so the meaning here, he uses the word obedient. Okay, he says, servants, be obedient to them. Now the word obedient, that means that the employee does the master or the boss's or the company's bidding. That is what the employee is there for. Whatever is asked of the employee, as long as it doesn't go against God's word, as long as it doesn't go against God's will, whatever is asked of the employee, if you are a hired employee, that is what we are to do. We are to do the master, the employer, the boss's bidding, to be obedient to that. You get into this thing a lot on the workplace, and I've seen it because I've worked secular jobs and all you have, and everybody's not wanting to do anything that's not in their job description. You know, that's not my job. That's not my job. That's what you hear all the time. I was griping. It's not my job. Well, if you're hired by the company, your job is to do what the company and the boss tells you to do. And that's even biblical. That's biblical. Be obedient to them that are your masters. And so, obviously, there is balance in all that, and I understand all that, but at the same time, we are called as God's people to be obedient to the master, the employee, to the employer. And so, it's a very simple requirement that God, you know, requires out of His people. It's very simple. It's like the gospel or any other command. It's really very simple. We're the ones that make things complicated. It's not necessarily easy, but it is a simple requirement. But it's just hard for the flesh to always accept and do that. Whenever you're asked of something by the boss or by the company to do something that isn't pleasant or may not technically be your job description, or I mean, whatever it is, it's just hard for the flesh to take orders all the time. And so it's a simple requirement, but it's not necessarily an easy requirement. But that is what he means when he says obedient. The employee does the master's bidding. And so we see the meaning here, but then we see the masters here. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. So he uses that phrase, your masters according to the flesh. That implies and lets us know that there's more than one master. There are multiple masters. The ones that he's talking about specifically here are the masters according to the flesh. Because see, we've got a heavenly master. We've got a heavenly Father that we obey first and foremost, above and before anybody else. We obey our heavenly Father, our heavenly master. But there's more than one master, and he's talking about the masters according to the flesh, the masters of this world, which would be the boss, the company that we work for, the employee or the employer rather. And so the text is speaking of the master that you're working for on this earth. And so we see the meaning, then the masters, and then he deals with the manner in which we are to obey. Okay? And this is kind of where I really want to get into. And we'll not spend a whole lot of time tonight, but I just want to run through these and look at some of these. Look in verse 5. He says, your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as the Lord and not as to the Lord and not to men. Now again, God deals with how His people are to be on the workplace. He deals with our manners, He deals with our motives, and He deals with the ministry of it, because it is a ministry. And so what is the manner? How is it that God wants us to obey on the workplace, in the workplace, on the job? Now, everything that he mentioned here in this list, it speaks of the quality of service. Okay? That is, saved people, Christian people, ought to do a good job. If you're going to do anything, at least do a good job. At least do it right the first time. At least, I mean, the very best we could all, or the very least we could all do, is just do our best. That's one thing I've said for a long time, that it takes no special talent, no special abilities, you know, it takes no amount of money. I mean, with $0 and with zero ability and with zero training even, you and I, all of us, can do our best. It requires nothing, requires no money, requires no special gift, requires no special training, requires no college degree, doesn't require anything, to just simply do our best. And that is what God, I believe, expects of His people. And I believe that really the world has a right to expect that out of us. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. But the world, I believe, has a right to expect the very best out of God's people, because we claim to represent Him. We claim to represent the Lord. And so I see about six different ways that God asks or commands His people to serve in the workplace. Okay, serving their masters. First of all, God commands us to serve honorably. Okay? Serve honorably. He says in verse 5, to serve with fear and trembling. Okay? Fear and trembling, that speaks of reverence. That speaks of honor and respect. So, I believe, based on that, that fear and trembling, I believe that the Lord is commanding His people that wherever we are working, on the job or in the work of the Lord or wherever it is, if we are serving a master, we are to serve with reverence and respect for our superiors, those that are over us. I mean, why would God require that in every basic relationship but the workplace? You know what I'm saying? He requires it in the home. He requires it with children and their parents. And so the same remains true in the workplace, is that He would have us to serve with reverence and respect for superiors. And so He is asking and commanding us, first of all, to serve honorably. Number two, God requires and it commands His people to serve honestly. Not just honorably, but honestly. He says again in verse 5, with fear and trembling, but He uses the phrase, in singleness of your heart. In singleness of your heart. That phrase there, in singleness of your heart, that deals with and speaks of sincerity. Doing what you're doing sincerely, with singleness of heart. You know, it's from the heart. You're sincere in it. And see, here's the thing. Talking about, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm still trying to get over this cough or whatever. A double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all his ways. Okay? God commands His people to serve with singleness of heart. See, a double-minded person is a dishonest person. They're not doing what they're doing with sincerity. See, singleness speaks of honesty in one's service. It's not self-seeking. If you approach everything self-seeking and you approach it for what you can get out of it, you'll always be looking for that angle. Even if it's doing the wrong thing, you'll still be taking the angle or taking the position that I'm doing what I can do, what I'm doing, so that I can profit, so that I can benefit, so that I can get something out of it. You say, oh, Brother Jacob, isn't that why we go to the job? Isn't that why we work, so that we can get something out of it? Well, yeah, I understand that. There's a degree of that. We work so that we can get paid, so we can take care of our families, and we can give and work in the service of the Lord, all those things. I understand that. But at the same time, we're still Christians in the workplace. You don't stop being a saved person when you go on the job. The Bible still says, let each esteem others better than themselves. Even whenever you're on the clock, the Bible still says that. And so we ought to be approaching things of how we can be a blessing, not just totally self-seeking in everything. So serve honestly, but then serve in a holy way, or holily. Serve in a holy way. He said in verse 5, he said to serve as unto Christ, verse 5 and 7, or 5 through 7. He said to serve as unto Christ, and then he said to serve as the servants of Christ, doing the will of the will of God. And then he uses the phrase, as to the Lord. That is, every act of service, even if it's working on a job in the secular system of this world, it's to be done as unto the Lord. We don't necessarily serve and do all these things because we love the company so much, or we love our boss so much. Most people don't even like their boss. And so you don't do it because you love the boss, or even because you love your coworkers, or because you love love people, or whatever. We don't do it necessarily for those things, even though those things may be true. But the point is, they may or may not be true, but we're still supposed to serve this way. And the reason is because we're not doing it for those people or those reasons. We're doing it for the Lord. We're doing what we're doing as unto the Lord, as if we are doing it for Him. Because at the end of the day, we are doing it for Him. We are representing Him. We are ambassadors for Him. And that covers everything that we do. Everything. Even when we're on the job, we are ambassadors for Christ. And the world should never have an occasion to accuse one of God's people for not representing Him well. Because we're always representing Him. So our secular obligations should be done as the will of God. If God's got us in a job, and whenever I was in the jobs that I've been in, and even now, I mean, I consider this is a job to a degree. For me, as your pastor, and then whatever job that you do, we are doing the will of God. If God's give it to us, and He's got us there, well, we are doing it as His will, as the will of God to please Him. And so, serve in a holy way. But then, God commands His people to serve habitually. Look in verse 6. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Now, the person that would serve with eye service, that's the person who only serves and only gets to work and works hard when somebody is watching and noticing. By the way, the work of the Lord has all these people too. They only serve, they only work hard, they only get busy when somebody's watching. When the boss is watching, or when somebody's watching, taking note, that's when they're serving, that's when they're working, making it appear that they're doing a good job. The person that would serve as a men pleaser, that's someone who will only serve and work hard and do a good job and be busy about their work when they're going to get praise for it. So the one doing eye service is the one that serves when they're being watched. The one that does it as a men pleaser is the one that's going to do it, that's only going to do it when they're going to be praised. But God commands us as His people not to work that way. In other words, serve and obey your masters from the heart. Serve honorably. Serve honestly. Serve in a holy way. And do it whether someone's looking or whether they're not looking. Do it whether you're going to get praised for it or whether you're not going to get praised for it. Do it whether somebody's going to notice or somebody's not going to notice. Because here's the thing. Nobody may notice anything we do down here. And by the way, we don't. It's not owed to us that anybody notices any good that we do or how hard we work. We don't deserve that. That's not owed to us. And so nobody may notice how hard you work or the great job you do. And a lot of people get really jaded over that. But I tell you what we have to remember is that we are laying up treasures in a place that's beyond all of this. Whether or not we get any recognition or any praise or admiration or anybody notices anything we do down here, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it for the Lord, and He is the one that is keeping the record. You say, Brother Jacob, even in something as little as how I do on the job, like it's not that big of a deal. I mean, you know, and the devil, he will get on your shoulder and make you think, well, everybody around you and all the other employees are doing these things and they're working this way, they're working half-heartedly, and they're not doing, you know, their best. So why should I do all those things? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're doing it for the Lord. And He is the one that's going to give you the reward. Or He's the one that's going to judge you and you're going to lose your reward. We're not doing it for the company that we work for. We're not doing it for the boss or the employees that we work for. We're doing it for the Lord. And so we ought to always, it ought to be, when I say serve habitually, that is, it ought to just be our habit. It ought to just be what we do. It ought to just be what comes to be expected of any one of God's children on the workplace. It ought to just come to be expected that person is going to do their best no matter what. They're always going to do a good job. You can trust that person. You can give them any job and they will do it to the best of their ability no matter what. And the reason is because they're doing it for the Lord. They're a Christian. That ought to be the testimony of God's people. That it is just their habit that they do everything, whether somebody's looking, whether they're going to get any praise, they just always do what is right. Number five, God not only commands us to serve habitually, He commands us to serve heartily. Okay? Verse 6, He tells us to do what we do. He uses the phrase, from the heart. From the heart. Over in Ecclesiastes, I've quoted this verse several times. He said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And so whatever we do, we ought to do it from the heart and do it heartily and do it enthusiastically and do the very best that we can. In other words, when he says from the heart, in other words, we're to serve diligently. Not lackadaisical, not lazy, not sloppy. We ought to do the job right. Do it right the first time. Not half-hearted, not flippantly. Because again, it always gets back that we're representing Jesus. You say, well, I mean, nobody notices. Well, somebody's noticing. He's noticing. He's noticing everything we do, everything we don't do. He's noticing when we do it right, when we don't do it right. He's noticing with a motive we do it. He's noticing how much we give of ourselves in it. You know, it's always amazing how enthusiastic people can get whenever it comes to doing something they want to do. Something that in the flesh, you know, they want to do it. And so, man, they get so enthusiastic and fired up. And I mean, they're up early and they're ready to go and all those things. But whenever it's not necessarily something they just love doing in their flesh, I mean, just drag through like it's just killing them. Well, I understand the flesh is working with you in one of those and it's working against you in the other. But we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And if we're filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, then everything we do, we're doing it thinking to ourselves, it's on our mind, I'm doing this because I want to please the Lord. I want to please the Lord in this. I want to make the Lord proud. I want to make Him look good. I want to adorn the Lord and make Him look good before the world because I am representing Him. So serve heartily is what He commands. And then, last of all, number six, God commands us to serve helpfully. In verse 7, He says that we do all that we do with good will doing service. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. that phrase, with goodwill, that means being helpful in service. We're doing what we're doing. We're serving the company, serving the boss, and serving those around us, and doing our job right and doing our job well, and we're doing it with goodwill. We're doing it to be a blessing, doing it to be a help. We're doing it even to be profitable. You know, I mean, if anything ought to be said about, you know, if anything would be said about a Christian in the workplace of the employer, it ought to be said that that person is profitable. You know, that's what was said about Jacob whenever he served all those years for Rachel. And you know, he was trying to get away from there. And of course, you know, his father-in-law tricked him and all those things and served all those many more years and got, you know, finally got Ray. He got Leah first, then got Rachel and served those years. And then whenever he's going to leave, his father-in-law didn't want him to leave. And you go back and read the story, you'll find that the reason that he did not want him to leave was because of how profitable he was. Because Jacob had been such a blessing to him. He had increased him. He had increased his riches. I mean, I'm talking about just purely carnal things, man. He had increased his riches. I mean, you look at all the great men that God used, and women too, throughout the Old Testament, or throughout all the Bible. I mean, look at Joseph. Joseph was mighty profitable for Egypt. Matter of fact, Joseph single-handedly, because he was what God wanted him to be and where God wanted him to be, Joseph single-handedly, with the power of God, made Egypt the most powerful nation in all the world. Egypt became the superpower that it was singly because of Joseph. Because God had Joseph there and the wisdom that God gave Joseph. What about Daniel? Daniel was the same way. He was greatly profitable to Babylon. I mean, all through the Bible you see men that were used and they were profitable. You know why they were profitable? Because they were the employees that God wanted them to be. They served their masters and they served helpfully. They did what they did with goodwill, doing service, to be a blessing and to be a help and to do what was right. And so the believer should be helpful to his boss by his or her performance. It's a good testimony for a child of God to be a good employee. That's a good testimony. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, then you want to have a testimony. And you want the gospel to go out. And you want people to get saved. And you want the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. I believe God supernaturally gives that to you when you get saved. When you get saved, you want to see other people get saved. That being the case, you can't be a witness on the job and in the workplace just by being a good employee alone. Okay? We understand. It does require preaching. See, a lot of people, they get too out of balance this. Well, I'm showing the love of Christ through, you know, all these things. Well, it requires preaching too. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So you can't be a witness, a successful witness, and lead somebody to the Lord on the job or wherever by just being a good employee alone. However, you can't be a good witness on the job without being a good employee either. We can't be a good witness, and those tracts that we give out on the job, and that word that we put in, and that opportunity to witness that we put in to those that we work with, and those things, none of that means anything if our lifestyle does not back up what we're putting out. If they don't see something different in our life, then it loses all teeth. Any preaching, any gospel, any witness we try, it loses all the teeth to it. If we are not being the employee that God wants us to be. So, God commands us to serve honorably, to serve honestly, to serve wholly, to serve habitually, to serve heartily, and to serve helpfully. Again, this is in chapter 6. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 has to do with the conduct of God's people And he deals with the conduct of God's people in the last half of this book because of what all Christ has done for us that he deals with in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And at the end of the day, it always gets back to this. Jesus has just been too good to us for us not to serve him and for our life not to show that, even when we're on the job. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for helping us with the Word. Thank you for, Lord, the Word of God and the instruction that it has in our life, and, Lord, the instruction that it has in every area of our life. And, Father, I pray that you would help us to take your Word and to apply it. I pray that you would help us to take it seriously and help us all, Lord, as your people, to be the employees, Lord, and the servants on the job that you would have us to be, Lord, that we could represent you well in these days. And Lord, I pray that you will bless our church. I ask that you would touch those that are not here tonight, those that are sick, not feeling well. Pray that you would touch those that are traveling. Father, I pray that you would give us a good service this coming Lord's Day. You'd prepare our hearts to be what you'd have us to be, and speak to us, and we'll thank you for what you do. Bless us now as we go our separate ways, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.